CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my colleague, Michael Vlahos, teaches history at Johns Hopkins. And we continue our discussion, are we now in a civil war? We also continue our discussion about, as Roman citizens in the year 90 AD, how did we lose the Republic? Why have we got this empire that we're so comfortable in? Those equations work in the United States as we've explicated for years. However, the blue, the red, the nationalist, the globalist, the urban, the rural. However, I discover by accident in a conversation with Badgett, that's the column written in The Economist magazine, the Badgett right now is the distinguished Adrian Wooldridge, I discover that in Britain, Mother Britain, the same contest is underway, except for it's not entirely about the whole country. It's about Labour Party. That over the last 10 years has done very poorly. You might note, and despite all the mistakes that the conservatives make, they've been in power since 2010. That's a long run. Well, what's wrong with labor? Turns out labor has in it a confrontation that resembles one that Michael has explicated here. It's described to me by Adrian Wooldridge as the wine-sipping university graduates versus the beer-drinking, flag-waving, hearth-side working class. And the working class has grown tired of being condemned because they're not sufficiently woke. Heck, they're not woke at all, as I understand it. And so the university class has teamed up with the immigrant population that has its own needs from areas of the empire. But those votes aren't sufficient to win elections. Not even traditional labor constituencies such as Hartlepool that was taken by the Etonians for the first time in almost 50 years, the Etonian Tories. Michael, it's refreshing to discover that Mother Britain is going through the same dispute that we're going through. It doesn't especially mean that we're going to resolve this anytime soon, but it does mean that Britain is built on the Roman model. We're built on the British and Roman model, that it's inevitable that we come down to the elite, the optimates, the senatorial class, versus the rest of us, the populares. Even if you grow up in the populares and are educated in the universities, you revert to one of these two tribes. What does this tell us, Michael, about where we are right now in America? Can we look to Britain for inspiration? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening, John. And of course, we can and should look to Britain, especially, you know, recent British history, recent meaning the era of modernity and, by the way, the era of imperialism. But the fact that we can still credibly refer to the Roman Empire means that there is a several millennium long tradition of this sort of class split in society. And in Orwell, for example, Orwell had a trialistic, meaning a three-way split in terms of class. There was the inner party, which is really in America today, the 1%. There is the outer party, which is the top 10% or 9% in America. And then there were the proles, which is the rest of America. And Orwell wasn't being prescient. He was describing in many ways his own society in the 1930s and 40s, but also very much what you would see in Rome, where the big man, the dominant figures, the senatorial class, the real senators, were the 1%. And they were served by the elite 9% who had the ability to live in cities, and then everyone else was kind of a serf. And in many ways, this is what's shaping up in American society. And if we are to look at what's happening to labor, it has its mirror in American life. Labor is the south of England, and it is the place where you have the greatest wealth in England. London is 20% at least of the British GDP. And the real swells, I mean, the real top 1% of Britain, they're you know, into the labor world now. And in the old days, those people, the aristocrats, would have been on the other side. And this kind of highlights again or underscores again what we've talked about in many of our conversations, which is the pendulum swing back and forth. If you remember in the bad old days, and I mean the really bad old days before the Civil War, the Democrats were the Southerners primarily, and then of course New York. And they were the richest. They were the senatorial class par excellence. And they, of course, were very conservative and very, very pro-slavery. But then the pendulum moved the other way. And in more modern times, at least in our living memory with FDR, the Democrats became very much the working man's party. And Republicans were the ones who were tarred with being the party of Wall Street. And now that has shifted back completely in the opposite direction. And it's very strange and noteworthy that it has with the Labour Party as well. Now, if you remember the provenance of British prime ministers, say in the 60s and after, all of the Labour prime ministers were firsts at Oxford. Now, like Harold Wilson or Dennis Healey, as one of the main ministers, they probably and assuredly got there on their merit. But the fact is, you could see even then that Labour was beginning to move away from its traditional, you know, coal miner, steel worker roots. And it is remarkable now that the northern areas of Britain, which were once the solid strongholds, even fortresses of Labour, are now voting Tory. And, of course, the other thing is that Labour's lost its surefire ace in the hole, which is the Scottish vote, which is now moving toward the direction of independence step by step. And so the Labour picture is interesting in that Labour's become a party of the optimates.
And, Michael, what's striking about it is Labour defines itself on the basis of what you'd have to say was a perpetual socialism. I mean, that was Jeremy Corbyn. And yet they're losing to a tousle-headed Etonian, Boris Johnson, right, who couldn't be more of a caricature of what Labour used to denounce and defeat. Now, the question is, does it connect to our dispute here? We just have a couple of minutes. So that's what I'm trying to see. Have we got a hint here about how the Labour Party has lost authority and how the Democratic Party might also be losing authority as it emphasizes what used to be called socialism?
Socialism is just a gloss or even a fig leaf. It's certainly a kind of transparent paper covering. Basically, socialism has always been the ideology of elites.
Right.
And then when it turns out to take over, as in a revolution like in Russia, the elites turn out to be the members of the Communist Party. But what we're seeing today is what on the surface is a contradiction.
We've got a minute, Michael. Just a minute. Go ahead.
But what in reality is long-standing continuity. And so once it becomes clear that socialism equals the wealthy and privileged elite, this is going to bring a downfall.
That's what happened in Labour, Michael.
It may happen here.
The working class of Hartlepool realized that the leadership of their party no longer not only didn't have their interests in mind, but also didn't know who they were. There was no connection. Michael Vlahos, we will continue. I just absolutely stumbled into Mother Britain's politics and saw, what is this? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.